The word today is commitment. Welcome to The Word Today with the late pastor and Bible teacher Paul Schrader. Many followers of Christ were fair-weather followers. When things became difficult or they were persecuted, they fell away. The degree of commitment wasn't there. Hear from our archives to examine our degree of commitment to Christ is Pastor Paul Schrader on The Word Today, Commitment.
Today I want to talk to you about crowds of people. You know, we here in America are going into a holiday season and people are getting frenzied about going to shop for toys and different gifts that they want to give to the various members of their family or friends or relatives. And so it gets to be pretty crowded, and the parking lots get to be pretty crowded. And once in a while, if they're having a big sale, they really get frantic about stepping on one another and pushing another person aside to get to the sale and to get the discounts if they see that the supply is almost gone. You know, it can be kind of frenzied. I've always thought that was a little surprising because right before those holidays comes the Festival of Thanksgiving. And I like to imagine that the churches are full of people that are praising God and giving Him thanks. Thanks for all the blessings that they have received. And of course, the most important of these blessings are the spiritual blessings. The fact that Jesus Christ came to this planet Earth and gave up His life here upon the cross to pay for the sins that we have committed. He died for every human being's sins so that they can be paid for completely and totally and earned for us by His giving of Himself as our Lord and Savior to pay the price so that we don't have to be damned or go to hell or in some way try to pay for our sins. It can't be done. There's nothing we could do to get rid of our sins. Only Christ, as the Redeemer and Savior of the world, only He can take our sins away. His blood washed us free of our sins, and His perfect life, perfect obedience to His Father's will, paid the debt that you and I owed because of our disobedience. And so, when you talk about the crowds that surround Christ, I first of all want to remind you of the crowds that followed Jesus during His earthly life. You know, He was born in Bethlehem and for a number of years waited before He began His ministry. You remember the journey that Mary, Joseph, and their baby Jesus took to Egypt. And you remember how they came back from Egypt. You remember that for 30 years He waited before He began His public ministry. That was somewhat of a political thing, I think you could say, because you had to be at least 30 years old before you could speak up. It's kind of like the age of 21 now here in the United States, kind of something on that order, that if you wanted to be a public speaker and you wanted to take on a leadership of something, you at least had to be old enough, mature enough to know what you were doing. And so at the age of 30, Jesus came back. He came down along the Jordan River, you remember, and there was a guy by the name of John the Baptist. And he said, "John, I want you to baptize me. I'm going to be starting my ministry here." And so he gave us the example, the importance of being baptized. And you remember that on that occasion, the Holy Spirit revealed itself and appeared in the form of a dove. And we heard the voice from heaven, God the Father, say, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And so you have the Holy Trinity right there at the beginning of Christ's ministry. The Father, the Son in the water there, being baptized by John, and the dove, the Holy Spirit, in the form of a dove coming to indicate His presence. So the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the true God, there, and he began his ministry. Now, one of the things about the crowds in those days, it's pretty similar nowadays, I guess. Let me explain how it was in those days. There were the immediate group of disciples. They were the ones that traveled with Jesus on a daily basis, the 12, and listened and heard his sermons and his preaching and his teaching, the inside information, so to speak, on why these things were important and what God wanted them to know. And Jesus told them, "My Father has sent me to explain these things to you, to show you what his will is." And so those were the close groups known as disciples or associates that they would follow and learn as much as they could. They would observe the miracles that Jesus did. And they were sent out then in a little bit larger group. By twos, they were sent out so that they could pray for one another as the other one was witnessing and so on. And there was kind of like a door-to-door ministry. We would call it evangelism, I guess, today. And they would make a witness. There was always that close-knit group, the disciples of Jesus. Then there was another crowd, more of, I guess you would say, church-affiliated people, I guess if you wanted to call them that. They were the ones that really wanted to hear the teaching and the preaching. They were very concerned about what Jesus was teaching, whether or not it agreed with the Old Testament principles that they had learned and so on. And then there were always the curiosity people. They would be at the outer fringe of the crowd. And, of course, there were always hecklers among them. There were always the people that would accuse Jesus of teaching something false. They would be the ones that would accuse him of misleading the people. These would be the rabble-rousers. And among them, there would be some curiosity seekers. They would like to see a miracle today. They would like to see something very fascinating, something that would really light them up. And so you have all kinds of these crowds. Well, today the same thing is true. You have people that are quite committed. They've studied the Bible. They would be the disciples. They would be the ones that were studying and wanting to learn everything that Jesus said and what it meant and how they should understand it. They would be the close ones. We would say they are the nucleus of the church members. They're the really committed. Then within that crowd, kind of further back, so to speak, kind of in the middle, would be the people that are there. Well, they need help of some sort. They need some guidance of some sort. But they don't really want to make a sincere commitment. I guess most church bodies call these inactive members. In other words, well, they're somewhere on a list somewhere. At one time they went to church. At one time they were confirmed. At one time they were committed, maybe in their younger days, maybe when they were married. And now somehow they've fallen away. They've become unhappy. They've become discontent. They are no longer committed. They don't go to church. They don't pray anymore. They're not very committed. And then I suppose you have the other kind that they're there to be critics. They're there maybe to see something spectacular or to argue about something or just to be amused. Maybe they're there because, well, I guess I'll go to church where the rest of my family is going. Maybe they go on the holidays and they think that that's good enough. They probably even think God should be happy that they even come then because they're not very committed spiritually. Now, I believe the problem in the Christian church today is that we have way, way too many of these inactive people. First of all, I don't believe that's a biblical principle. I don't believe the Bible talks about inactive followers of Jesus. He talks about hypocrites, those that pretend to be active when they aren't, those that pretend to be believers, but they're not really sincerely in their heart, those that say all the right words. Jesus said they'll say, "Lord, Lord," but their heart really isn't deeply involved in Christ. They don't really commit themselves to him. And so you have people that wait until God hits them over the head. Maybe they're in a car accident. Maybe they get a disease. Maybe they have a stroke. And all of a sudden, boy, they run to church. They run to see the pastor. I need help. I'm getting a divorce, and I had an accident, and I almost died, and oh boy, are they ever spiritual then, and maybe even some of them for a little while are repentant. And they probably even might mean their prayer, like, please, Jesus, come and help me. I'll change. I'll be different. And yet they never get close enough to Christ. They never get into his word. They never come on a regular basis, week after week after week, to hear and to learn and to discuss. They don't have time for that. They're not committed enough to that. They are not sincere. And as a result, they soon fall away. You know, the Bible is very clear on teaching. There are many ways to hear the word. You can hear it and then forget it. You can hear it and then disagree with it. You can hear it and grow. You see, there's all different ways. And unfortunately today, there are too many in the church that have carelessly ignored it. They're almost begging God to hit them over the head to get their attention. I think, you know, I would be fearful if I were them. Like saying, you mean the only way that God has to get my attention is if he hits me over the head? Man, that's terrible. That's terrible. Instead of loving him, and instead of drawing close to him, getting into his word so that you love it and are eager to learn more about him and develop your relationship with Jesus Christ in a meaningful way, that your love grows and grows and grows. You know, I'm going to talk next week in our message together about giving. That's one of the big problems in a lot of churches today, that people don't give. It's unfortunate because it shows a lack of love and a lack of commitment. We'll talk about that next week when we're together, and I think it'll be eye-opening and a wonderful opportunity for us to grow and become more committed. I hope that you're not just a distant follower, touching base every once in a while and maybe on the holidays, and then going your own way, ignoring God, ignoring his word, not even praying and so on. I hope you are committed. I hope you are a child of God in the real sense that you love him personally, that he's your personal friend, that you look forward to living eternally with him in heaven. He is our Savior.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word Today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find The Word Today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you. So visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support The Word Today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word Today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word Today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word Today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.